Hey guys, Justin Rohr here from Restoration Church, and like the rest of the world, we are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, and while our services are canceled, guess what? Church is not. Church is people. Church is family. So we're defiant in our hope. We believe that God is still on the move in our church, even in our separate places. So we encourage you in this time, go to restorationlex.com/online and check out resources like getting connected to community, watching our service with us on Facebook every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Lots and lots of stuff to help you not only stay connected, but equip you to follow Jesus in these times. So check restorationlex.com/online, and thanks for listening. Well, happy Sunday, Restoration. It is so good to be with you. My name is Justin. I'm the pastor of this crazy bunch of people we call Restoration. And wherever you're joining us from here in Kentucky or beyond that, we're so glad you're with us. I had a friend from France that was joining us last week. So we're coming together all over the world. And I'm so encouraged that even in this time where we are in our separate places, God still is building his church. He's still building us together. He's still restoring people who are restoring the world right where we are. I'm confident in that. And so that's why I'm so glad to gather with you and to sing and to hear the scriptures, share communion together, just worship together. It's so encouraging to do that. So last week we started this new series. It's called The Field Guide for Troubled Times. And we called it that because, man, this is uncharted territory. I mean, none of us have been in a crisis like this in our lifetime. And so we have to learn how to navigate our faith in times of crisis. We got to learn how to do that together. Last week, we talked about how God's still speaking peace into the chaos. He's still speaking peace into the chaos of our lives, but it doesn't mean we're always listening. So the challenge to practices was find a place and find a plan. Find a spot in your home or your apartment surroundings where daily you can spend time listening to God. And then find a plan. How in the scriptures or in prayer are you going to be listening to God? We gave you resources on the website. I encourage you to check those out. And it's so important for us to spend that time simply listening. And we're going to build on that today. And it's so important in this time because everything's really slowed down, hasn't it? Everything has just kind of come to a halt. One of the things I found really inconvenient about slowing down is that it forces you to look in places within yourself that maybe when you're busy, you can just kind of breeze over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When everything slows down, you start noticing things that come to the surface that were probably there before, but now that you're in this season of slowness, they start coming to a head. Or maybe it's an emotion that's popped up out of nowhere. Maybe it's an old wound that's kind of reared its ugly head again. Maybe there's just some stuff within your mind and your body. You don't know why you're aching. You don't know why you're tired. Stuff is just happening that's coming out of nowhere and forcing you to come to grips with what's happening on the inside. I read this article this week by this woman named Rosie Spinks, and she wrote this article called "It's So It Turns Out You're Not an Introvert After All," which, first of all, I was a little, you know, that's wounding. That's me right there. I used to do that a lot, say I'm an introvert, but realized I just love people and I want to not be an introvert anymore. But anyway, the whole point of this was, she said, stripped of expectations of how we're supposed to be, staying at home forces us to confront who we are. That is an uncomfortable truth. Staying at home forces us to confront who we are. So maybe for you, it's been this bout of tears that just comes out of nowhere. Or maybe you just get really angry and you don't know why, or this wave of sadness comes upon you that you don't know where it comes from. Or maybe you're like me and you're doing way less physical activity. You're not running around everywhere, but some reason you're just as, or maybe even more tired than you were before. Stuff is just happening and it's hard to understand what's coming up to the surface during this time. So I want to ask a question, just like we did last week, and I want to engage in this together. So if you're watching on Facebook with us, I want you to type this in the comment section. A bunch of y'all did last week. It was awesome. Or if you're not just watching somewhere else, share with friends there, text somebody, whatever it may be, engage during this time. Answer this question with us. Here's the question. What emotion has snuck up on you during this crisis? What emotion has snuck up on you during this crisis? Is it sadness? Is it fear, anger, anxiety, maybe joy? I don't know. What has snuck up on you in a way that you did not expect it to? And listen, we're family. We can be honest. There's no judgment here. It's come up for me. It's come up for you, I bet. So type that out. Respond with us. We're going to give you about 30 seconds here, and then we'll come back. So what emotion has snuck up on you during this crisis? Here we go. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing there with us. And man, for me, just to be honest, it's been sadness. I've been just having these waves of remembering, man, I want to go to church. I want to see my friends. I want to see my family. And I just have these moments where it just comes upon me and I don't expect it. And I'm confident in that. I'm thinking about Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is kind of speaking to this reality. And it asks this question two times. It says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" And I don't know about you, that gives me comfort that somebody who's writing the Bible is experiencing emotions and feelings that they don't know how to comprehend, that they can't explain. He's saying, why? Why is my soul feeling this way? I love that the Bible is honest enough to share in the same sort of confusion that you and I are facing in moments like this. It's not afraid to speak that stuff out in these moments of crisis, which means for us, it's calling us to hard questions. And specifically, it's asking us a very big question that I don't know if we are prepared to answer yet, but I hope maybe by the end of the day we are. The question is this: how is your soul? How is your soul? I mean, do you know what your soul actually is? The word soul, it's used tons in the scripture. In the Old Testament in particular, it's something that is used to talk about ourselves a lot, our souls. And it's bigger than just kind of this weird ethereal reality. Our soul, according to the scriptures, is ourself. It's the essence of who we are. The Hebrew word is nefesh. Literally, it kind of translates to throat, kind of the breathing apparatus where our life comes about. And so from a biblical perspective, our soul is not just the spiritual part of us. It's our whole selves. It's the holistic, interconnected reality of our lives, how we are fully connected as a image bearer of God. That's what a soul is. I know for a lot of us, we've kind of grown up around this idea that there is a body and there's a soul and it's sort of separate. And that's not a biblical idea. That's actually a Greek idea that's come about and has been very influential in the Western world. There's kind of the biggest heresy in the scriptures is this idea of Gnosticism, which says that the spiritual stuff is great and wonderful and that's what matters, but then our bodies are less and don't matter, and so we can kind of do with them whatever we want. That's still pretty prevalent today. But that's not a biblical idea, the idea that those two things are separate. See, for the Bible, what it says, the Bible speaks that our soul is our whole person. It's everything that we are. It's the center of who we are. So when the psalmist is saying, my soul longs for God, it's more than just kind of what's happening in our brain or our spirit or our heart. It's our whole body. It's the aching for God. When he's saying, why, soul, are you downcast? Why are you feeling this way? He's recognizing it's not just our emotions, it's our bodies, it's our whole selves that are feeling the weight of moments like this. Does that check out with you? Because it definitely checks out with me. It's our whole interconnected, interdependent self. Dallas Willard, he puts it this way. He says, what is running your life at any given moment is your soul. Not external circumstances, not your thoughts, not your intentions, not even your feelings, but your soul. The soul is the aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. The soul is the life center of human beings. You're a soul made by God, made for God, and made to need God. So these emotions and these feelings in our body and our minds that are coming to the surface during this crisis, they're kind of like check engine lights. They're kind of like our soul's way of showing that there's some places of weakness and brokenness in us that need to be brought to the surface. They are ways that God sometimes gets our attention that we need more than what we are rooting our lives in a moment like this. And every time we see in the scriptures that when our souls are weary or they're broken or they're lost, there's a common prescription that throughout the entirety of the Bible we see coming up over and over again. When your soul is messy and broken and lost, the Bible calls you to rest. And this is more than just stopping physical activity, isn't it? I mean, most of us are doing less physical activity now, but doesn't it feel like your soul is tired? Doesn't it feel like that even though your bodies have stopped, that your soul still feels like it's going 1,000 miles an hour, it's working overtime? John Ortberg, he calls this soul fatigue. It's a weariness that goes beyond what our bodies are feeling. It's a tiredness that is deep within us, a weariness of soul that calls us to rest. And over again in the scriptures, when it's talking about this deeper soul rest that we all need, it associates it with stillness and silence. So the idea that rest is taking what's happening within us and bringing it from a place of noisy reality into just a still and silent place of rest. Think about Psalms 23. It talks about that God is our shepherd. It says, He leads me beside still waters. And what does He do? He restores my soul, my nefesh, my whole self. He restores me by leading me beside these still waters to this place of stillness. In other words, the work of God in our lives, it always leads us to restoration by stillness. Restoration through and in rest. Not just in quieting our bodies, not just in slowing down what's happening to us physically, but slowing down our whole selves, quieting our souls. And how do we get there? This passage right here says that it's God Himself that leads us there. We're like sheep wandering in the wilderness, trying to find any bit of sustenance that we can, often getting ourselves in places where we're lost or we are stuck, and it is the Good Shepherd Himself that leads us to these places of stillness. God is moving us constantly, if we're listening, towards restoration through stillness and rest. One of my favorite passages talking about this comes from Psalm chapter 131. It's Psalm 131. It's one of the shortest Psalms. It's only three verses. And it gives a beautiful picture of how God moves in this reality. And David's writing this. He says in verse 1, Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. That word haughty just means arrogance. I do not get involved with things too great or too wonderful for me. I love this verse in particular because it starts this whole journey towards stillness with an absolutely necessary thing for us, and that is humility. We have to have humility in order to rest. We have to have humility to say, I can stop and slow down and rest. And one of the trappings of our modern mindset is that we think we have to know everything. We have to have opinions on everything. We have to have expert analysis on everything. If there's some sort of controversial thing that's happening out there, buddy, we better post something about it because we have to put our voice. We have to know what we know about this particular thing. But instead, the psalmist is telling us a very much needed truth in our digital age. You are not meant to know everything. You're not meant to have all of this stuff crammed in your head. You are meant to know the God who does know everything. But if we think in our own human arrogance that we can contain all of this knowledge and all of these ideas in us and still find rest for our souls, we're just deceiving ourselves. We may not know everything, but we do know the God who does know everything, and that is enough. It means in our digital age, very practically speaking for us, that in this time of crisis, let me just be real with you. You don't have to know everything that's going on in the news. You don't. You don't have to know every single bit of expert analysis about what's happening out there. You don't have to read every article. You don't have to watch the news 24/7 to get the latest results of what's happening in this state or our state and all this stuff. You are not meant to be able to cram all that in your mind. Listen, there is a difference between being informed and being engrossed. There is a massive difference between having the information you need to make wise decisions and just having your mind soaked in the anxiety of trying to get it all in your head. You're not made for that. I'm not made for that. Some of us need to embrace our limits in this season and turn off the news and allow our souls to rest. And from that place of humility, from that place of just slowing down, verse 2 speaks something new to us. It says, instead, in contrast there, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like a weaned child. I love this picture. He says, I've calmed and quieted my soul. This is the picture that David gives us. It's a beautiful picture. I don't know if you have kids or you have grandkids, or you certainly know people that have kids, but the process of weaning a child off of breastfeeding is very long and tiring and just frustrating sometimes. And if you're a parent, you know this. Babies and toddlers, they're just helpless. It's always need, 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 mom, 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 dad, 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 blah, 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 all the time. And I know you parents right now are just like speaking in tongues because you know this is true. And moving them to a place of maturity and growth means they're moving to a healthy level of independence, specifically with breastfeeding. Like, you can be around your mom without needing the breast milk. You can be around her without needing the stuff all the time. This is a beautiful picture David's given us because he's saying, I'm like a child that can be with its parent, not because it needs something, because it just wants to be with them. It just wants to be with you. There's nothing better as a parent than when your kid comes and just chooses to climb up in your lap, not because they want something, just because they want to lean on you and rest, just because you are a place of comfort for them. You are a place of rest for them. And this is what David says, that God is longing for us to climb up into his lap in our weariness, in our need, and just to lay our head down and rest. Yes, there's seasons where we need to express our needs to God. It happens every day. We're always saying, God, give us today our daily bread. But there are times in our rest that we need to stop asking and simply rest in the fact that God is with us here and now. We just need to be still. Sometimes we need to be silent and allow God to do the speaking. Allow God to be the one who brings this comfort. I believe it's what Jesus means when he says in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. A rest that's deeper than just what happens in our body. A rest that goes into the very depths of our souls. My friends, this is a profound truth today. In Christ, you don't have anything to prove. Like a child sitting in the lap of its parents, you don't have anything to prove. You can just be. It's not about in this season how much you can produce. It's not how much you can prove to God or to other people that you are killing it in this quarantine. You don't have to do that. You can just rest in the God that loves you and welcomes you. He welcomes your emotions. He welcomes your fears. He welcomes your longings. He invites you in. He says, come to me in your anxiety. Come to me in your anger. Come to me in your sadness. Come to me, Lord. Just accept that call in our lives now as we move forward. Help us to hear your voice, Jesus. Help us to hear, come to me. And God, for those of us who are struggling with things like sadness and anger and anxiety, these emotions that are coming to the surface, that are showing us that our souls are weary, would you give us the courage to lay down these expectations that are put on us by the world around us and just simply rest in you? Give us your peace. Give us your stillness. As our good shepherd, would you lead us in this time towards a rest that is deeper than just our body? Let it encompass our whole self. Lord, give rest to our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today as we move into a time of communion, I want you to remember that thing that you were talking about earlier, that emotion or that feeling that has come about that you did not expect, and I want you to hold on to that. As we take these elements, whether it be the juice or the cup, if you have it at home, great. If not, just take a time to reflect right where you are. We're still united together. But during this time of reflection, I want you to hold on to that emotion or that feeling that's come to the surface during these days. And I want you to bring it to Jesus. I just want you to even maybe picture handing that over to Jesus in this time, saying, "This is yours. I know you accept me. Lord, give me peace. Give me rest in this chaos." So now we're going to take these elements, this body represented in the bread, his blood represented in the juice, remembering his sacrifice for us, that he has died to give us life, to give us rest. So let's take communion together and celebrate.